Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Researchers have discovered a potential new genetic modifier that can influence the course and severity of spinal muscular atrophy, according to a recent study. The findings may help shed light on how two members of the same family may be affected by different forms of the disease, the investigators said. Described in the case report, genomic analysis of a spinal muscular atrophy discordant family identifies a novel mutation in TLL2, an activator of growth differentiation factor 8, myostatin, a case report. These findings were published in the journal BMC Medical Genetics. SMA comprises a group of neurodegenerative disorders characterized by the gradual loss of motor neurons, the cells responsible for controlling voluntary muscles in the spinal cord, leading to muscle weakness. It's normally caused by mutations in the SMN1 gene, which provides instructions to make the SMN protein that is essential for motor neuron survival. In humans, there is a second gene similar to SMN1 called SMN2 that also can produce this key protein. SMN2 usually remains unaffected in SMA patients and is known to influence the course of the disease depending on the number of copies present. For that reason, SMN2 is sometimes referred to as a disease modifier. In addition to SMN2, several other genes are considered SMA modifiers, including SERF1, NAIP, and GTF2H2. However, the severities of many SMA cases, especially the cases within a family, often fail to be explained by these modifiers, indicating the existence of other genes and additional factors modifying the symptoms of SMA, the researchers said. In this case report study, Chinese investigators described the rare case of a family in which two siblings, a boy and a girl born from healthy parents, were diagnosed with different forms of SMA. The girl had been diagnosed with SMA type 1, while her brother had been diagnosed with a milder form of SMA type 3. Although both siblings met the diagnostic criteria defined by the International SMA Consortium, the boy had much less severe symptoms than his sister. The girl, who died of pneumonia at age 11, was never able to sit or stand by herself, while her 16-year-old brother was able to sit and stand by himself once he reached age 1. Using gene sequencing, a technique that allows researchers to read DNA, the team found that both parents were carriers of a mutation in the SMN1 gene that was inherited by both of their children. This mutation, which was found in both copies of the SMN1 gene in both siblings, led to the deletion of the 7th exon of the gene. Exons are the coding sequences of a gene that provide further instructions to make proteins. Further analyses also confirmed that all family members carried two normal copies of known SMA modifiers, including SMN2, SERF1, NAIP, and GTF2H2. However, subsequent genetic analysis revealed that the brother had additional mutations in the TLL2 gene. Meanwhile, his sister had additional mutations considered pathogenic or disease-causing in the VPS13A gene. She also had a de novo mutation in the AGAP5 gene. A de novo mutation is one that appears for the first time in an individual, instead of being inherited from their parents. The investigators said, TLL2 is an activator of myostatin, which negatively regulates the growth of skeletal muscle tissue. Mutation of TLL2 has been proven to increase muscular function in mice. Therefore, the mutations of TLL2 found in the brother were predicted to alleviate the severity of SMA, they said. Importantly, SRK015, an inhibitor of myostatin activation, TLL2's target, is being developed by Schoeller Rock. It is currently being tested in the TOPAZ Phase 2 clinical trial. The researchers concluded, quote, "Our finding broadens the spectrum of genetic modifiers of SMA and will contribute to accurate counseling of SMA-affected patients and families."
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today Forum's moderator and vlogger. I knew anesthesia, bad idea. is scribbled, barely legible, on the first page of a little blue notebook. Mom intended this notebook for grocery lists and reminders. She never imagined it would be a communication device for her daughter when she woke up on a ventilator after a routine surgery. As one of the most difficult times in my life, I can look back at it as a time of perseverance. Knowing my abdominal pain wasn't something to ignore, I decided to go to the hospital. In the ER, they discovered my gallbladder as the culprit. Easy fix, remove it. Next thing I knew, I was having it taken out. Although I had reservations, I figured it was routine, so not a big deal. Because of my feeding tube, doing it laparoscopically was out. Supposedly, the open colon means a longer recovery and a nice scar. Unfortunately for me, it also meant aspirating while under general anesthesia, a nicked bile duct, and waking up on a ventilator. Waking up, I had that oh crap realization when my breathing wasn't to my own rhythm. With tubes down my throat, I couldn't speak. Fortunately, I was able to grip a pen to scribble a few words onto paper. Most notes had to do with positioning. Genuinely, I had my doubts if I'd ever be comfortable again. Removing the breathing tube on the first attempt failed miserably. After a few breaths on my own, suddenly I couldn't get air into my lungs. My eyes got big as I made eye contact with the nurse and mouthed the words, "I can't breathe." My panic reflected in her as she quickly activated the code blue alarm. Nurses, doctors, and the anesthesiologist rushed in an attempt to reintubate me. My limited jaw extension was problematic. Regardless, they managed, although I don't recall how, as they knocked me out for the process. Waking up a second time to a foreign breathing rhythm, I felt defeated. Comforted with my sister holding my left hand and my mom on my right, I was grateful for waking up, despite feeling weak. Once again, the little blue notebook became my communication. "Don't you want to cry?" Mom asked. My response, "Want to cry, makes snot," written squiggly but clear on the middle page of the notebook. Crying on the inside, I knew actual tears produce mucus, and that's the last thing my body needs. At this point, the doctors came to the realization I should be at a hospital more capable of dealing with my medical complexities. Recovery was an extensive process. Why Mom saved the notebook, I'm not quite sure. Looking back, I can say I went through a great deal and came out the other side. I may be physically weak, but I have a great deal of strength. Have you been through life-threatening ordeals? What got you through it? Head on over to our forums, smanewstoday.com/forums, to let us know. Have a great day, everyone.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.